What are people up to in town? Find out on Out There Wednesday afternoons from 4 to 5 on Valley Free Radio for live encounters from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond. We don't care if we live out of date. We don't care if we're a little bit late. Gonna make a scene, baby, me and you. On my rocking bicycle that's built for two. Thanks for tuning in to Out There today. It's Wednesday. Today's show is going to be a continuation of the previous shows, which were I was playing a recording of a presentation by Susanna Crolius of Catholic Charities at a refugee resettlement informational house meeting that we had at my house on September 28th. The previous show was mostly about Susanna's presentation and audience questions and comments. And it was a long meeting. It was like a two-hour meeting. So I'm going to play more for today's show. But the part I'm playing today is a personal story of Suzanne, who was a refugee from Burundi, who eventually made it to Western Massachusetts. When this first clip starts, Suzanne's talking about, well, there's this idea that new refugees need, this country need, 5 years of support before they can become a citizen and be on their own. But Suzanne's saying it doesn't take that long because people are so eager to make a new life here. No, actually, when this clip starts, Susanna Crolius of Catholic Charities is talking about different ways that people in the community can support the new refugees. And she's asking Suzanne, sitting beside her, what do you think? How does this fit with your experience? And I believe the man speaking was Father Bill, a priest from East Hampton, who's also been really involved in resettling refugees.
It looks a thousand different ways. Do you want to say more about that? What might that look like?
Yeah, help them look out what they need, see help from them. It doesn't mean they don't know nothing or they can do nothing. They can do anything except that they don't speak English. Mm-hmm. But as soon as they get it doesn't take long. It doesn't mean they didn't go to school. Some of them, they went to school, but in different language. But it doesn't take that long, you think. You might say, they propose 5 years. I'm telling you, it's not going to be 5 years. I've been there before. 1 year, 2 years, they'll be independent.
So this is a good segue.
You know, older women find it more difficult than this kid. They have kids they got to take, or the children. The women can be more isolated because they got to take care of kids, mm-hmm. or they're older. It's hard to learn a language. They tend to be a little more socially isolated than the men. Teenagers and the young men do, quicker.
So, you came to, we'll get back to questions, but
sure.
It seems like a good segue for you to just share a little bit about what was helpful to you in your experience and what would have been helpful to you in terms of volunteers and what would have been helpful. Yeah.
My name is Suzanne Nduwayo. It's a long story, but I'm going to make it short because if I talk about it, you might stay here a couple hours. So, what I'm telling you, God bless you guys. God bless you because nothing bad to be as a refugee. I'm telling you, to be a refugee is something nobody can accept it. Except if it happens, you have no choice. To be a refugee, you have to leave your all stuff you have. Imagine if somebody comes and say, get out, right now. Nothing you can take. You just go, whatever you have, whatever, how you look, you go like that. No clothes, no food, nothing. You just go. Leave your house, leave everything you have, go start over. Where? In another country you don't know. You don't know their culture, you don't know what they speak. It just try to make your life going. And you get there. You left everything you have, no food, no water. To get all that, you have to suffer. Even if you say you get help, it's just like little. You were eating in the morning, lunch, and dinner. You're going to eat, if you rack it once a day, how it look like? A lot of people die. But you have to accept it happened. If you're there, you're like, I'm nothing. You have no hope. Except if you may be Christian, you might say, yeah, the time like this happens, but you pray, you know. You say, maybe God listened to me. Maybe something will happen. But you don't know what will happen. You just think, oh, I should be dying instead to be suffering like this. A lot of us wish to be dying, but I'm still alive, thank God. You have kids. You've been going to school. You will never do anything else. You have to stay where you are. If you're lucky, you get a job in camp, but you will never go nowhere. Even if you get that job, how much do you think they give to you? Whatever they want. You have no right to say no. You say, oh my God, I'm lucky. I got this. Oh, God bless me. I'm good, I'm rich. You feel like you're rich, but you're nothing. It's just to make days going. If you heard, is anyone who going to help you out? Why think? You feel like, oh no. I don't think it can happen. You can't believe it. Even if you believe it, you ask too many questions yourself. How am I going to get that help? How will it happen? I didn't go to school. I don't this. I didn't do this. How is going to happen? We said no. They just play. You know, they just play with my life. They just wanna see how they act or something like that. But you never know. What I see or what I have experienced is good to have hope because you never know. If they told us they're going to look out how they can help us to live or to get homes or to be left in the refugee camp, oh my God, we felt like it's heaven opening. But other questions, how am I going to get there? How is going to happen? How long is going to take? Because you'll be waiting. You say, no. They think they're just lying. Nothing going to happen. They just come and ask you. Sometimes they call you, oh, we're going to do interviews and stuff, and say, I'm not coming. Whatever you ask me, I never see any benefit. Why you keep asking me this question? But they will never tired. They will come. No, don't feel like that. Please, we need to help you out. You will say, oh, you're going to help me out. How I will trust you? I don't even know you. How am I going to trust you? Believe me, it's so hard. You will start asking them, okay, we understand they're going to help us out. What language they speak? Oh, they speak English. English. I never went to school for English. I just speak Kirundi, Swahili, French. How I can go somewhere? They don't speak my language. How will we communicate? No, just leave it. Because no way. But I'm telling you, they come and say, no, everything will be okay. There is a lot of people went before you, but they are good, they're doing good. I said, oh, maybe they are the one who went to school. I didn't. But they said, no, even when you get there, you can go to school. Oh, no way. How I can go to school? They speak English, first of all. What school? How? It is impossible. But they will tell you everything can happen, everything is impossible. The people there, they are friendly, they will tell you other things. You will never get hungry again, you will do this, you will do that. Sometimes you feel like, no, it's not going to happen. I'm telling you, you can't believe it. But if you keep hope, and you say, okay, let me just agree with them and see. Yeah, they will come next time. Or it takes more than a year. It's long. And you keep suffering. You say, maybe it's going to happen when I died. But it has to be how it, you know, if you have to take that processing, you have to take that processing. Nothing you can do. Good luck. They came, they say, oh, now is the time. You say, okay, it's the time. Okay, what am I going to take? No, nothing. Again? I left my country, nothing. I'm going even to leave nothing for what I have? Yeah, nothing you can take, but if you get there, you have everything. Say, no. You're lying. When I left what I have and go start over again, no way. But then we keep give you counseling, until you say yes. So if you say yes, yeah, they will come, they will say, okay, this day and time, how to be prepared, your family, we come to pick you up. They will come, pick you up. But it takes again a processing. If you come from the camp I came from, you have to pass through Kenya, another country. If you get there, that's when you have to, you start asking. So this is America? You told me I'm going to America. But this is another country, it's Kenya, it's Africa. Why you can tell me you bring me? Yeah, that's how it is, it's processing. If you get there, you're not taking it long. You just have to have maybe a week. But I'm telling you, you'll be gone. Say, what? Okay. It didn't take long, just 2 days. It just, you can't believe. Just 2 days. And they say, okay, this time and day you're going. They came, gave us clothes and shoes. You have nothing to take. That's what they give it to you in your documents. You take a plane. We say, oh my God, we're going to use a plane, right? You want us to die. Because we heard other people died with planes. They say, no. It just happens. You know, accident is an accident. Even if when you it can happen. We say, no. Wait a minute. First of all, they say, if you don't have a higher education, you cannot use airplane. Us, some of us didn't go to school at all. So that means because we don't know nothing about it, you guys want us to put that in there. Say, no, it's not just you. When you get it in, you will see other people, different people. It's not just you guys. Okay, as long as now us, just us, we can believe. When we get in the plane, oh my God, it was huge. Our people, we say, it's not just us. But it's like a fight. They want to help you, but you don't believe what they're doing is right. Because what you went through, it's like something else. So when we get in New York, what? It was like around 6 p.m. At a light, beautiful. We says, what? Here, that's when we came? That's what we, no. That's where we're going to live? They say, not here, but not too different. We says, what? How are we going to live the place like this? They say, yes, you guys will live in the place like this. Not too different, but it's the
Springfield, New York City. Not too different.
Yeah. And we said, oh, but we don't see any people walking around. How do we see all people have cars, take cars moving? So how about us? How we will move around like them? They said, don't worry. This is the country you come in. You will be anything you want to be, except you obey rules. He says, what? We can't, rules? What kind of rules? They start asking questioning us, so where you in your country? Did you have the right to fight? He said, no. Do you have right to break anybody's house? He said, no. The same thing. If you understand, you'll be anything. It's okay. But we don't think we will be able because this is too much for us. They say it's too much today, but tomorrow it'll be maybe less than whatever you think.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. You've been listening to the story of Suzanne, who is a refugee in Burundi and now lives in Western Massachusetts. This is from a house meeting at my house in late September 2016 in preparation for Northampton's resettling of approximately 51 refugees in the coming year in 2017.
Says, okay, let's just agree because we came already. We are in country. What will we do? We cannot go back. Let's just quiet and see what's going on. They pick us from New York to Carnegie Hall. It was a little bit late night. So, we start to see they look different because it wasn't look like. And they say, here, we're going somewhere else. He says, we see the signs. This is Connecticut. They say, you guys go in Massachusetts, Springfield. He says, how long far from here to? He says, just 40 minutes. He says, okay. We came. When we got to our apartment, oh my God, it was beautiful. Everything was all set. He says, this is our house. They say, yeah, we told you everything will be okay. You will have everything. We say, so what? No. So we use all this. They say, that's yours. So, we're confused. We saw the stove. We never use the stove. He says, so we're going to use that too? They say, yes. Say, what? No, we're not going to use that one because they say, no, don't worry. Just don't touch anything right now. They say, we're going to take you somewhere. We have somebody who came from where you came from. We're going to take you to his house. They might give you some food to eat. After that, we'll bring you back home. We say, somebody who came where you came from? He says, yes. And he's cooking on that stove you were talking about. How long he been here? Just maybe a month. So what? Yeah. Just a month? Or he knows? They say, yes. He said, let's just go and see. We didn't take the car. We just walked. It was not too far. We went to his house. When we got there, oh, my God. We know him. We said, we never know if we met anyone we know around here. They said, yes, they told me somebody's coming. You have to cook and you feed them. I said, what did you cook? Is any food from home? He says, yeah, I cooked everything you like. This country, they have food we eat. He says, this country has everything, as they said. He took us, showed us fridge. I said, what? Everything. He gave us food, we ate, we went back home. But again, he says, we're going to sleep in the service, yes. But we're going to leave one light on, don't touch anything else. Don't touch that stove until tomorrow. They just show us a shower and how to use it. That's it. Other things, just water is right there. If you need something to drink, go get some, drink. Until tomorrow morning, somebody will be coming who speaks Swahili to show you all around the house and how you can use it. We says, okay, nobody can touch nothing. And we start telling the kids, don't touch anything. If you don't understand this house, don't touch anything. We you know, the first day was dizzy, tired, we didn't sleep, but yes. Next morning, he came early morning, and then he called my husband, because he was speaking French, he was understand a lot of English, but for me, I wasn't. Even French, not that much. I was just speaking Swahili and Kirundi. But the guy who came was speaking Swahili, so I was able to communicate with him, show me what I can use it for. He came, he showed us how to use the stove. It was not that complicated, I thought. And then he told me, if you don't feel like you can do it, just don't do it. Call me. He left his number, and then he took us to the store. We buy food. When we get to the store, oh my God. Or we even see, never see. He says, this is this, and this is this, and this is this. They use this, they eat like this. Oh my God. I said, thank you, God. Because we never have all those stuff. And then here comes, we were there about 2 months. No, before 2 months. When we were finished, 2 weeks. The third week. They took me to find daycare for my son and my friend. When we went to find daycare, they did everything. I didn't know what they're doing. She just do everything because we didn't speak English. After she finished, because she was busy, to be honest, but she took us to the bus station downtown. She says, okay, now we're done. You guys have to take the bus and go home. The bus and go home. I know how to take the bus. She says, you just take the bus and it will just bring you home. But I never knew which bus. I knew every bus you take, it can take you wherever you're going. I didn't know nothing about it. But our husbands was new because the head of the house, they told everything. Except, you know, sometimes you can tell them this and that. They will never go straight to their wives. Which is a mistake. That day, it was early morning around 8, or around 9. We take the bus. When we went in the bus, I didn't know how much to put in the bus. I had $20 bill I put in. I thought it's like home, if you give it to them money, they give you back change. But here I put in the machine. I stand there waiting the change. He says, why are you waiting for money, money, money? He didn't know what I mean because he didn't see me when I put it in. Mm-hmm. My friend took $20, put it in, that's $40. Oh. We didn't know, we thought maybe later he doesn't have a change, he's going to give us change. We went to sit down. When we sat down, I just found out we took P21, he brought us a Holyoke. I just found out not even too long ago.
That's what
we're. When we got a Holyoke, I says, what? This is, Eric doesn't like it. It doesn't look like where we live. She says, so what are we going to do? She says, he lost. I don't know. I say, how about if we just let's get out the bus and see all around? We got out. When we got out, different. We never see that area. We said, so what are we going to do now? The bus left already. But we saw other people standing on the bus stop waiting at the buses. And then my friend told me, but did you know we put our money in the bus? I said, yeah, but they took it. They didn't give us change. She said, but I heard that my husband was saying the bus is just $1. I said, why don't you tell me before? We started arguing. Yeah. She said, I didn't know. I thought they'd give us change. I didn't know if you put it in, they cannot give you a change. I said, well, money's gone. Nothing to talk about. She said, okay, if you sure they put just $1? She says, yeah, I heard. Okay, let's just go in the store, buy any juice. Maybe they give us change. We went in this store. I didn't know even how much they're going to give me back. We just took one bottle, and one bottle, we give them $20. They give us change. I don't know if they give me exactly what they're supposed to give me. I don't know. We took the money. We went again to another bus stop. We wait like a whole hour. Other bus comes. The same bus, but different direction. We took that bus. We just put $1. Nothing they said. We said, okay, then you're right. We went back on bus terminal again. When we got on bus terminal, so okay, now what are we going to do? We got back where we came from. We not even know where we live. If we know, we walk. But we don't know. No funds, nothing. Mm. So what? Mm. She said, but before I heard my husband was talking to somebody and saying G3. That's the basket. I said, what? G3? Let's just find the bus. She says, yeah, I heard my husband was talking to somebody that they take the bus number G3. I said, you sure? She said, yes, I'm sure. I heard him talking to somebody. Okay, let's just get that G3. It didn't take long, a couple of minutes, it came. We went the bus, put da-da-da-da-da-da, we go in. When we went, it's not where we live. We went somewhere else. We went, when we got to the last stop, he started looking us, because we were just us left in the bus. It was all around 7 p.m. He looked at us, we looked at him. He says, are you lost or something? I was just understanding little bit words of English, but I'll never talk back any word. Are you guys lost or something? I felt lost. Yes, yes, yes. Where are you going? No English. No English. No English. Did you know your address? I heard address. So, yes, yes, yes. Do you know address? Oh, I got the paper. It has my address on. I held it to him. When I helped him, he looked up. I said, oh my God. Okay, that's your address? Yes. Okay, go back, sit down. We went, sit down again. He went out, smoked his cigarette. After he finished, he came back. Okay, don't worry. We're going back to the bus terminal. When we get there, don't get out. Stay in the bus. I'll bring you where you live. So, okay. We came back to the bus terminal. When we got there, he left. We stayed in the bus. Other people came. Other people came after they came. He came. He took us home. When we got around where we live, because we knew we've been working on that area, we knew where we live. Because we saw exactly the stores we've been going to. We said, oh, home, home. He says, home? He said, yes, home, home. Mm. He stopped. Mm. We got out of the bus and went home. So, oh my God, this is terrible. I never have. After that, we say, okay, you learn from mistake. I will never take a bus again when I don't know where I'm going. And when we were watching TV, we saw how the people took the people, they don't know where they go, or people killed each other. We said, oh my God, we're lucky. They didn't. They should take us if we never know anywhere to go, or, you know. So after that, we've been practice to go to school, comes back home, go get the babies in daycare, comes back home. Little by little, we've been doing good. After 3 months, they say, oh, you guys have to go to work because benefits going to stop. Say, okay, we understand that to go to work is okay. We like to work. We work hard. We would like to work for anything we can. But the problem is language.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. You've been listening to the story of Suzanne, who is a refugee in Burundi and now lives in Western Massachusetts. This is from a house meeting at my house in late September 2016 in preparation for Northampton's resettling of approximately 51 refugees in the coming year in 2017.
I like to work, but how am I going to communicate with those people I work with? They say, yeah, little by little, there is a jobs, they don't need a lot of English, but yeah, you can, you know, you can do some jobs, they don't need much English. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went, I did work about 2 weeks, and then something happened, we couldn't explain ourselves, they fire us. When they fire us, say, what? So we don't even know what to say, or we don't even know, you know, if anything happened, you don't even know how to apologize, you know. So we say it's not our fault, because they should try to find somebody who can speak our language and we can interpret it for what happened. They said, oh, anyways, we have a lot of workers, so it's okay, stay home, we'll find, you know, if there's any open, we'll call you back. I said, no. I decided to not agree to go back to work without to go to school. But my husband was keep going. He was be able to go to work and go some hours to school. But me, I can't. I have to drop my son in daycare, go to school, and I need to go to work. And I have other kids I have to pick up to the bus stop. Mm-hmm. I said, that's not working for me. How about if you give me time first? Focus on English. After I finish, give me any job, any hours, even a full day, I would do anything. I tried as much as I could. I used a whole year going to school for different places. After a year, I tried to know how to drive. I went to get a book, motor vehicle, I passed. After I passed, I went for driving school. No, I didn't even go to driving school. Somebody teached me. Mm-hmm. After that, I went to get license. I got my license. After that, I went to the office. I told them, look, now I can work. Find me a job. They did find my job, housekeeping. I did work about five months. After that, I heard other employees saying, oh, you guys working hard and you know English, much English than us. I said, yeah. They say, yeah, you better find another thing to do because your English and housekeeping. No. I said, like what? I didn't know. They say, yeah, there is other things they call CNAs. If you get that training, it's quick. And if you get it, you get good job on this. We said, wow, okay. So I have my brother-in-law. He's been doing those trainings. I asked him about it. He said, yes, that's true. If you find that training and you get it, you're all set. I said, okay. Housekeeping, bye-bye. I went to that training. I got the training. I got my car. I move on.
And how long ago? That was a year after you were resettled or longer?
A year.
It was about a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So now you are teaching also English. Did you give up the CNA?
No.
You still do both?
No, I still. I love my job.
Yeah.
I still work here.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. You've been listening to the story of Suzanne, who is a refugee in Burundi and now lives in Western Massachusetts. This is from a house meeting at my house in late September 2016 in preparation for Northampton's resettling of approximately 51 refugees in the coming year in 2017.
Determined. Thousands of migrants are welcome.
The growing crisis in Europe, its borders buckling as it faces the largest migration since World War II.
I'm sitting alone over here, got my eyes full of tears, lost my job, no career, so confused that I fear that the world will remember me. I am a refugee, somebody help me please, ease the pain. It's my scream, somebody help me please, I need this pain to ease. It's my scream, somebody help me please, I'm on my knees. I don't know what to do, lost my girl and my two. Had a friend that I once knew, he disappeared without a clue. Now I'm stuck breaking the rules, mama told me always be true. What should I do, my sky is no longer blue.
I'm a refugee, can you please help me? I'm in need.
I'm a refugee. Can you please help me? I'm in need. I'm a refugee. Can you please help me? I'm in need. I'm a refugee. Can you please help me? I'm in need.
It's my scream. It's my scream. Somebody help me, please. I am a refugee. It's my It's my scream. Somebody help me, please. I'm on my knees. Whoa. I'm on my knees. On that day I had her, she was lovely, always cared. When she died, she was scared. A memory I cannot bear. Now my life is so cold. It's too much to hold.
Dear Mrs. Soldier, we're right here searching for some shelter. We need some water. That mother over there is in disorder. Why don't you go and tell her? Her son died trying to jump this border. Why ignore her? You don't know her. The weather's getting colder. She needs somebody home.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I've been playing a recorded house meeting presentation by Susanna Crolius of Catholic Charities. This is WXRJ LP 103.3 FM in Northampton and streaming online at valleyfreeradio.org. You can also listen to archived editions of Out There at weatherbeard.com/out there.
Science is real. From the Big Bang to DNA. Join me for Evidence-Based Radio, Friday nights from 6 to 7 p.m. to learn more about science and skepticism. You can find me online at facebook.com/evidencebasedradio or email questions or topic requests to evidencebasedradio@gmail.com. That's Friday nights from 6 to 7 on Valley Free Radio.
I found a boy today. It looks so good, why did you throw it away?
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Venga para el Bike Lab de Northampton y se divertirá mucho, le enseñará muchas lecciones como arreglar bicicletas.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
Ya súbase a la bici, compa. Trépese a la de montaña, la bici urbana, la bici cross. Lléguele a la bicicleta. Ya de menos a la eléctrica o a la estática, ya no hay tos. Llegaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá.
We are Aikido of Northampton, and you are listening to Valley Free Radio, 103.3 FM, WXOJLP, Northampton. We are Aikido.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. You've been listening to the story of Suzanne, who is a refugee in Burundi and now lives in Western Massachusetts. This is from a house meeting at my house in late September 2016 in preparation for Northampton's resettling of approximately 51 refugees in the coming year in 2017. Susanna Crolius of Catholic Charities.
So within that story, that question of how what do volunteers need to do, there are, I hope you heard, there are a thousand different things that volunteers can do to help make this experience so people aren't driving around the bus all day. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But a really big part of what you're saying is the challenge of trying to understand anything that's not in your language. Mm-hmm. So it makes me wonder, if I don't know Swahili or I'm not going to know the language, like, what could I do? How much can I use my hands to explain?
Language is part of it. Yeah. But also, it's really giving the time. Now, you know, we're not telling that story to bash Jewish Family Services. They have people who speak Swahili. And I'm sure somebody probably tried to teach her how to use the bus system, or the caseworker assumed that the husband told her, mm-hmm. or whatever, or they taught her and never mentioned exact change, you know? Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. But if you have a lot of people taking the time to help out, mm-hmm. the odds of something like that happening are diminished.
And, caseworkers are, they're focused on, they're focused on those newly arrived, if there are hundreds coming in. You know, refugee resettlement agencies are understaffed and underfunded. There just isn't enough time and energy to walk with somebody over a long period of time, or even, so volunteers become really critical pieces to that ongoing learning.
And so, and there's always these things that come up that you never would have thought of. You know, I work with a couple Sudanese lost boys. They were placed in an apartment building in State Street. And they had lived in Kenya, so they spoke English. Mm-hmm. And they were pretty, intelligent and adaptable and all that. Okay? But a couple things happened with them. And I spent a lot of time with them. I spent a whole day going across the neighborhood. Across the street, there's a little mini mall. There's a guy from Trinidad who runs a record store, music store. Mm-hmm. I went in and introduced myself. They were very great. And next door, there was a black barber shop. You know, and I went in, and this African-American barber, really nice, all your friends, you can come in, da-da-da-da-da. I said, well, you know, if you want to have a barber, get your haircut, go here. Showed up the next day. They went the next day. And the barber's there, and this other African-American gentleman's in the barber chair. And he says to him, hey, get the hell out of here. We don't like people like you here. And he ran out. And then the barber's chasing after him. Well, you know what happened? Somebody had given him a New York Yankees baseball cap. All right, and they were kidding. They were kidding about it. They were talking about the Red Sox, and they were kidding. But... Yeah. Anyway, I remember the poor barber running down the street saying, no, this is a joke. Wow. But who would have predicted that?
Yeah.
Well, right? Even all this, it's good to hear all the travails, but, you know, who would have predicted, like, the money? Like, so that's good.
It's like, okay, so classes on money, but maybe it was the one time that day that the bus driver did look at the machine or something, you know, so you can't predict all variables. But yeah, all those things.
Other things I can say, I mean, they help each other. We help each other. Mm. That time, it was hard because we were the first. Mm. And then we came too many times at the same time.
Yeah.
So they were very, very busy. I'm not even mad to what happened, because I understand if it was me, it would happen too. Mm-hmm. But now, because we already here and we know what to do, we have experience, mm-hmm. we help to who can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's really, you know, that's the hope that with any community, that, you know, that folks who've been through the experience, you know, assist those who are new to the experience, and the Burundian community is very large now in Springfield, and the women from our group are already talking about cooking meals for the folks that are settled here, and, you know, I mean, it's the good thing is Springfield is 25 minutes down the road, you know, mm-hmm. it's not that far, and so the, you know, when the Syrian community that's in Westfield with the Islamic Society there, and the Hampshire Mosque has already said we want to be an integral part of working with the Arabic speakers. So that's the beauty of what happens, you know, when you've been through that experience. I want to honor our time and see if there are any other questions before we say any more. Oh, there's some sign up sheets. If you know of any housing or potential housing, temporary or otherwise, put your name down. If you think of an employer who might be willing to train or work with a newly arrived refugee adult, or if you know somewhere that might be willing to apprentice. You know, refugees come with huge... I mean, some are doctors and dentists and farmers and teachers, and, I mean, they had lives prior to having to flee. And so they still have, they still have all these skills. But the problem if you have a license in some way, the U.S. makes it virtually impossible for their license to transfer. So if you're a doctor or a dentist or a teacher or a nurse, you're going to have to do years of schooling in order to get recertified. So if you know of an apprenticeship, you know, we have a lot of folks who are farmers. You know, there's lots of agriculture around here. Child care, I mean, it's lots of people were teachers.
What's the timeline that you're looking at?
Well, ideally, if the State Department hears our plea, you know, the federal fiscal year begins on October 1st. That's on Sunday.
Right.
So we've said to the State Department, we're trying something new here. Could you just make it January? Please, at least January, if not later, before the first family arrives. We're hoping the State Department hears our plea and understands that we are trying to unfold this new model. We're hoping that they'll give us at least till January, till the first family arrives. It's entirely possible that they'll call sooner. We hope not. We've been pretty explicit about this. So what needs to be in place? You know, we're putting all these sort of the systems in place. The volunteer process of, you know, the Cori check and who's going to... I mean, it's all these sort of minutiae that the working groups are trying to hurry up and finish up so that the school system is in major conversation about how it can meet its needs with a budget already written. How is it going to meet its needs to accommodate these new students? I'm creating an interpreter and translator bank from folks. You know, I mean, we're in that not scramble mode. We're in that intense sort of putting the structures in place mode.
So the space for the permanent housing is...
Housing group is working on it, on identifying. The good news is folks are won't all come in at once. Mm-hmm. So if we have three places lined up for permanent housing...
Good start.
It's a good start.
That's cool.
And it could be, you're saying, anywhere from 10 to 17 families.
Yes, we have no way of knowing.
You know, here's one horrible, horrible thought, but we are having an election in November.
Oh, yes.
The new president will be inaugurated in January, you know, unless the whole country blows up, whatever. But, you know, is there any thought that all this, you know, hard work that everybody's doing to get this small number of refugees in the greater picture here could change?
It won't come to a crashing halt on November
7th. No, on January 1st is what I'm thinking.
You know, that my guess is, and I, Bill, you can speak to this maybe, but yeah. I think those who are already in the pipeline up to a certain point will be continuing to come. I mean, and you know, it would take a long time for any presidential, for any president to sort of stop the program. So you know, certainly we can imagine that if the worst case scenario happens and the person who is elected says no more refugees, it's probably going to take at least a year, you know, to even get those who are already scheduled to come.
There's a couple of things to remember. One, even Trump has not said no refugees. Mm-hmm. He said no refugees from these countries that are breeding terrorism, whatever, whoever they are. But, I mean, he's talking about Syria, basically. And number two, what's happened is the president proposes the, he gives a report to Congress, he sets the number, which he's done 2 weeks ago, and then Congress appropriates the money to fund it, which is, as you probably know, there's like a continuing resolution for the new year, so we're already about to go into the new fiscal year, so we're paying for the new fiscal year. And so basically what happens is that, you know, for this year, whatever the political climate is now, will go from between now and September 30th. So basically
year,
so. For the rest of this fiscal year, even if Trump is elected and even if this sentiment grows, I think it's very hard to say that it's going to fall apart. The following year would be a different issue.
Yeah. So it's good if it's possible to get everybody here before next October.
Well, we'll have
year.
To. Yeah. That our commitment, that the State Department works within a fiscal year. So they have said we'll have 51 individuals come in the course of this next fiscal year, meaning starting October 1st, Sunday, through September 30th, 2017. So we'll have at least 51.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Are you guys done?
Yeah.
This is specifically about the language barrier and the cultural barriers. Like, how is there a way that people like me can help with that, even though I haven't taught? Is there a way that I can learn quickly to teach English or to help people to learn English or for me to learn Swahili or any other?
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing. I mean, in the school system and in certain settings, they're required to be certified master's level, you know, having taken formal English
as
second language. Yes, I mean, there's sort of strict protocols for that. But, you know, this Arabic club that is encouraging folks to come learn Arabic, I mean, you bring up a good point of, is there something, could Suzanne teach a course for those who are interested in sort of basic Swahili. Mm-hmm. I mean, could, you know, I'm not electing you, it's just an idea. But I mean, it's, you know, because our approach is about, this isn't just about the, it is about the well-being of the refugees, but also it's about the receiving community who has so clearly invested itself and wants to be engaged on a deep level with these neighbors who are coming in. Why couldn't we have some classes in Swahili? Why couldn't we have a YouTube video that Suzanne does once a week that's posted on our website that teaches five words in Swahili? I mean, the possibilities are endless when you sort of step out of the narrowness of the federal process, which we still have to follow, but we're expanding that. Mm-hmm. So the possibilities are endless. And what I've also found is, as Father Bill said, you know, I transport Burundian women to our group. And when it started a year ago, almost nobody knew very much English. But, you know, we communicated anyway. Like, language is one piece of it. But if you, I think, is it true that if you sort of approach somebody with an open heart and an open spirit, mm-hmm. that it's amazing what can be communicated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If there are any other questions, contact me. My name is Susanna, Susannah.
What's your last name?
And my last name is Crolius. And I'm the coordinator of outreach at Catholic Charities. And you can contact me at s.crolius, Crolius, at dio, Springfield, all one word, .org.
Do you have a Facebook?
Yes, the Facebook page is up. We're about to launch a web page. Candace is just putting finishing touches on it. You're going to ask me what that Facebook page is.
All you have to do is Google Refugees Northampton. It'll come.
413-348-2385. That's my cell, and that's the best way to get in touch with me. So if any questions, any ideas, any thoughts, any concerns, please let me know. Thank you for your time and your interest.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ruthie and Alex, for hosting us.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I'm just a refugee from a world where people are cruel and living unequal. I'm getting over and over. Promises broken, innocence lost. Over and over, singing together, holding our hearts on love so divine. There's a place everyone dreams of. No more borders and no more lies. Tell the priest to make one religion for humankind. We'll see all the children praying.